good morning, everyone. My name is Yuli, and I'll be sharing the devotion this morning. If we can just open up in a word of prayer. God, we just want to, again, invite you here into this place. We want to invite your presence, not only here in this physical space, but God, into our hearts. For those who are sitting here and for those who are listening online, God, I pray that your spirit would meet our spirit, Lord, and that it's not just the words that we hear, but Lord, I pray that you would really meet with us this morning in a way in which we would know that we have met you, God. So we invite you to speak this morning to us individually and corporately, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I'm going to read out of March 14th on page 42. This is John 4. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." "What you have said is true," the woman said to him. "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." John 4, 1 through 26. This morning, I'm going to read a devotional from Dale Hansen, the Senior Associate Minister at St. Andrew's Kowloon. Winston Churchill once said, "People occasionally stumble over the truth, but most pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened." The woman in our story stumbles over the truth. She bumps into Jesus as she goes about the routine business of her life. She was on her way to the well like she'd done thousands of times before, day after day. Not today. Her unexpected, unplanned encounter with Jesus completely changes the course of her life. The first thing to understand as you respond to the truth of Christ is that he promises to deal with your deepest needs. Jesus isn't playing games with us. Water, apart from the air we breathe, is the most essential element of human survival. This gives us a sense of how vital and urgent the issues Jesus deals with are life, forgiveness, salvation, relationships, hope, new beginnings. These are what Jesus speaks to us about. A strange twist to our story is that the woman turns all religious on Jesus. Our fathers worshipped here. You Jews say that we have to worship in Jerusalem. Jesus says to the woman, you want to talk about worship? God is actually interested in worshipers. In fact, he is looking for them. You want to talk about worship here or there? If you're prepared to worship God with complete sincerity and utter reality, then he is looking for you and people like you. By the way, the person you are talking to sitting by this well is the key to understanding all of this right now. And I just want to read just a couple of points of reflection that he writes. How can you be more aware of encountering God in the day-to-day busyness of life in Hong Kong? And how can you be the kind of worshiper that God is seeking? I think these are really good points of reflection, but this morning I wanted to kind of veer off just a little bit from what Minister Hansen was talking about. I think in reflection of this story, I feel like what God was speaking to me was to really focus in on Jesus. And the story really parallels, I think, what we go through in our Christian walk. And so I just have a few very basic points. One, Jesus waits for us. I feel like it wasn't by coincidence. Some people say that his journey from Judea to Galilee, he didn't necessarily have to go through Samaria. And I'd like to believe that this woman had such an impact that it was a God moment, that he had planned this and planned to meet with her, and that he was waiting at the well for her. And I think oftentimes this is so true in our own lives, right? Jesus is waiting for us in the very place that he knows we need to be met. And so oftentimes I think in our need, in our sin and our desperation, whatever it is that we need at the moment, God is there in that moment waiting for us to approach him. Second point, Jesus knows exactly what it is that we need. I think for this woman, she was thirsty and she's at this well, but I think what God recognized was a deeper thirst and a deeper hunger that the woman had. You know, she was feeling maybe an inner need to be known, and she's filling her life with men, five of them, including the one that's not her husband. And I think God recognized that she had a deeper hunger than that. And I think so parallels what I think oftentimes happens to us is we think we know what we want and we think we know what we need. But God sees through it all, and people say that we have a Jesus-shaped vacuum in our hearts that only Jesus can fit into. But so oftentimes, I think what it is that we try to do is we try to fit in our careers. We try to fit in a significant other. We try to fit in, even our children. Whatever it may be, I think oftentimes we try to stuff this odd-shaped thing into a place where only Jesus can really fit. And I think Jesus really recognized that in her and offered her more than the water that she's drawing from the well, but offered her living water, eternal life, relationship with God. And that, in that way, I think, you know, that's what we need as well. Above all of those things, and I think God recognizes that all of those things are important to us, our careers, our families, just even our social lives. You know, it's all important, and I think he recognizes those things. But I think what he desires the most, and what I think we truly, if we were to be really honest, what we truly desire is relationship with the Lord. To know him, to meet with him, to be touched by him. Third point, Jesus is persistent and patient. I think she, in the way that she spoke with Jesus, she oftentimes switched the subject. She focused on the law when Jesus was talking about grace. She didn't really understand what it was he was saying when he said, living water, I'm going to offer you living water. She says, well, yeah, give me this living water so I don't have to embarrass myself anymore and come out here at noontime and draw from the well. Give me something. It was beyond kind of what she even understood. But I think in this, what's great is God reveals that he's persistent because he loves us and that he's that passionate lover. And he's very patient with her. He continues to explain. He continues to engage her in the things that she kind of combats her rebuttals, I guess. He engages her just where she's at, and he continues to engage her until she gets it at the end. And I think oftentimes, I think that's exactly what we do. We kind of do this dance with Jesus, and we try to hide, we try to flip things around. It's family is important, God. Family is important, and I think God knows family is important, but I think he wants us to have a relationship with him first. So he draws us back. He draws us back even though we may veer to the left and to the right. He's persistent and he's passionate about us. The one thing that kind of jumped out at me with this story is you'll notice she didn't actually confess or repent during the dance and during the conversation. She did confess, I guess. She said, yeah, you're right. The man I'm with is not my husband. But there's no, I guess, formal repentance. And to me, it kind of jumped out at me because I feel like oftentimes we think that we have to be completely clean and white as snow in order to approach God or for God to want to approach us. And I think it's the truth of the matter is, even in our sin, even when we haven't repented, God still is persistent, and he's passionate about us. And so I think that's one of the major things that I think God wants to hit home today is, wherever you are at, whether you still have sin in your life, maybe sin that you've been struggling with for years, I think to know that God is passionately and persistently pursuing you, and that wherever you're at, that's the way he sees you. That's the way he wants you. He just wants you just where you are. Last point is, God's faithful to reveal himself. He says, his answer to her question is, I am the one who is speaking to you. She says, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. And in the end, she's a woman who understands and gets it, has this encounter with God, and then runs into town and tells everybody about this man named Jesus that she encounters. And the townspeople come and ask him to stay. He stays for 2 days, and it says that many came to know Jesus that day as their Lord and Savior. And I think, God is faithful in all of these things. He waits for us. He knows exactly what it is that we need. He's persistent and patient, and he's faithful to reveal himself. So there are parts of this that I think, the one about sin, I think that really jumps out to me. And if anyone is struggling with that today, I feel like God really wants to meet you there. And two, I feel like, you know, there, God is in the business of relationship. And I think he not only wants us to have relationship with him, to know him, to be known by him, but also I think there is an element that he wants to teach us how to love each other. And the relationship, I think, goes vertical, and then I think he expects us to go horizontal. And I think this passage really, you know, she couldn't contain what it was that happened to her. She had this experience with the Lord, and she ran. She left her jar at the well, and she ran out to the town to share with everyone she knows. And I think there is maybe a season in which God is teaching us all about relationships, you know, how to be in relationship with the Lord, but how to also engage with one another, even when we're very different, even when we come from different backgrounds and have different views. I think God is in the business of relationships. So I think that could have been the shortest EMP, but let's have just one song of worship, and then we'll go into prayer. But I just want to encourage everyone here during the time of worship and prayer, really ask God to search your heart and to see where you are at in this moment and in this season, and ask and invite God to meet you there. I feel like God is saying, I'm waiting here by the well for you. Come and meet with me this morning. And whatever it is that's going on in your life, it's okay. Just come. Just come and meet with me. So maybe we can spend a little bit of time just in prayer and reflection. And God, I just ask that you would come and be here, Lord, that your presence would be thick here in this place. That God, it is beyond words that can be spoken, but Lord, as a song that we sung just right now, that Lord, some of our hearts are parched. That, Lord, it is dry, and that we need the living water to come and drench us this morning. That, Lord, there are areas in our lives, Lord, whether it be in sickness, loneliness, in desperation, hopelessness. Lord, whether we're in a critical junction in our life where we need to make decisions, God. Lord, we want to proclaim, we want to confess this morning that, Lord, we need you. We need you, and Lord, reveal yourself to us so that we could come and meet with you this morning, Lord. We know that you are here, Lord, and I pray that, God, you would take us from point A, Lord. You would lift us up, Lord, from the mud and the mire, Lord, and that you would take us into a new place, Lord. As PSAM has preached before, Lord, that, God, we would have shalom, peace. That, Lord, that whatever circumstances that are happening all around us, God, that, Lord, in the very end, Lord, we want to have peace, Lord, because we know and our faith is placed in the God Almighty, the God of all gods. So, Lord, come and speak to us as we pray. So, Lord, we know that, God, you are faithful, and we want to place our faith and trust in you. We're going to take a leap of faith and come and meet you at the well, Lord. This morning, tomorrow morning, tonight, whenever it is, Lord, we're going to take a leap of faith and meet with you because, Lord, you are faithful. You are trustworthy, God. You're going to meet us in the very place we need to be met. I pray for myself and I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, if there's any area of our heart or in our lives that is parched and dry, Lord, come living water. Come living water and drench us this morning. If we could take some time this morning to pray for Dale Hansen, the senior associate minister at St. Andrew's Kowloon. Let's just pray that he, as a man of God, beyond his job as a minister, let's just pray over him as a man of God, for God to meet with him and to bless him and to anoint him. Let's also then into his role and in his church, let's bless that church. Let's bless them just the way, same way we desire for God to bless SP. Let's pray with that kind of fervency that he would bless his church this morning. Let's also move into our corporate prayer. Let's pray for our community, for folks who are struggling and battling cancer and chemo and radiation and transplant surgery. Let's pray that God would meet with them this morning. As we pray for them, that let's pray and stir up our faith. Stir up our faith that God is our healer and that these are but names of things in which God can heal, God can touch, that it is finished, that what he did on the cross, he died on the cross for these things. Let's pray. Let's also pray for folks who have illnesses and in addition who need to meet with Jesus for salvation. Let's pray that, that there would be divine appointment. That I've heard so many stories recently where people have met the Lord even through their sicknesses. And so let's pray over not only let's pray for salvation and that they would meet with God, but that even through the sickness, God can reveal himself. God can touch someone and heal someone, even though they are not a believer. Let's just pray whatever avenue it is that God wants to take, that He would take it and that there would be healing and salvation in our family and friends. Let's also pray for these infirmities, that again, these are just names of things in which God has already conquered through Jesus. Let's pray for complete healing, but also restoration, that things would come back into order in which God has intended it to be. Let's also pray for our community and jobs. Let's pray that let's pray in faith that the Lord says He is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. Let's proclaim what we know of the Lord. Let's stir up our faith because we have experienced God as our provider. Let's call upon those experiences. Call upon the name of Jesus in the ways that we have experienced Him.
Let's also pray right now for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government, the wealth gap, revival, city on a hill, light to China, local churches, YOM Hong Kong, the Sports Service International, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Face to Face, Feed the Hungry, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, Hong Kong Korean Church. Let's pray for just the ministries in Hong Kong that God would not only meet these places and gatherings of people, but let's also pray that God would start to bring unity among just the churches and ministries in Hong Kong. They say that when the churches unite, that's when revival breaks out, and we want to see God come here in a fierce way. Let's pray over these ministries and just God's touch and the unity here in Hong Kong. Let's also pray for the Missions Committee, Pastor Sam, Pastor Eugene, Jamie Donaldson, John Kang, Sarah Ho, and Janella Chan. Let's pray that God really imparts wisdom and vision, and that, that His will would be done through the missions focus that our church has. Let's pray. Let's also pray for our local outreach, the community center, Igape, English and Computer, HOMI, Care for the Poor, SP Lights, Freedom, Prison Ministry, Mother's Choice, and Bridge Translation.
Work and that you are doing great.
encouraged and be strengthened, Lord, today.
Let's also pray for our Friday evening events, SPU, IP, River, EG, the McCain House Church, and DB House Church. Let's pray that it would be more than just a gathering and more than just a program, but that it would be, again, another encounter with God, that God's presence would go before us and that He would be there waiting for us, preparing just how He wants to encounter us. Let's pray.
Lord, we just thank You for all of these ministries and events, God. We know, Father, that You have a plan and a purpose. That, God, it is more than just a gathering of people, Lord. But, God, You want to meet with Your people. It is more than a social event, Father God. But, Lord, it is a time to know You more, to experience You more, to be known by You, to be freed by You, Lord. I pray that all of our events, Lord, whatever day of the week it may be, God, that, Lord, we would have them because, Lord, You are there. You are there to meet with us, God. So I pray for a powerful time, Lord, whether it be with our youth, with our SPU, with our younger folks, or whether it be with our older folks, like wherever we're meeting, whoever is meeting, Father God, we just ask that You would meet with them and that You would reveal Yourself in such a powerful way.
So God, we just thank You for what You are doing and what You are about to do, Lord. I pray that this time would not end with this hour, but Lord, I pray that, God, we would take You wherever we're going, whether it be work or back home, even in the mundane things of going grocery shopping, Lord. I pray that, God, You would come with us, Lord, that we would invite You to come with us wherever we are. And that, Lord, we ask that You would speak to us through Your word, through Your Holy Spirit, through our community, even in our prayer time, Lord. I pray that we would develop our relationship with You. We would develop our intimacy with You. I pray, God, that it would become a lifestyle, that it would not, we would not stop with just knowing a good thing. But God, we want to move into experiencing. We want to taste for ourselves. So Lord, You are faithful and You are good, and we want to proclaim that. We thank You, Lord, for the things that You're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen.